B-Pod Studios.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
It's 3 o'clock hour. Yeah, we're tightening up because I got to tighten up on the hair. But we're also playing that because that's Archie Bell in the dress. And we've played it many times here. And tomorrow on this program, Archie Bell will be on the show.
Uh-huh. I can't believe it.
Archie
I'm
Bell.
So happy.
Archie Bell coming on the show tomorrow at 4 o'clock.
It's amazing.
The Arch.
It's a great
one of his reps was listening to the show and said, would you be interested in having Archie on? And I said, yes, we would. So, I have no idea where that interview will go.
Well,
we'll just have Archie Bell on because we're going to play tighten up a lot.
I'm pretty sure Archie Bell spent some time in Trenton, New Jersey.
Oh, he did?
I'm pretty sure, like 99% sure he spent time out in Trenton.
Okay.
So.
Yeah, he's born in Houston.
Uh-huh.
So, yeah, I mean, hasn't really been active since the early 80s.
No, he's probably, you know, I have no idea what he's doing now or, you know, what he sounds like. But I'm just curious to know, like, you know, some things about his life.
And his.
And the Tighten Up era.
Right. And his brother playing in the NFL.
Ricky.
Yeah, that's like a.
USC
talented,
star.
So I'm saying, talented family.
Yeah, seriously.
Like one's a singer.
Yeah.
Another one's running back.
3 o'clock hour, by the way, brought to us by Corbley's Bakery and Deli, world famous tomato pie and hoagie party trays. Every bit as good. I watched the Flyers last night, but I also watched a documentary as soon as I got home.
Which one?
And it was the one I was intrigued because it won the Oscar. And it's produced by Barack Obama's production company. He's in the production business now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the documentary is called American Factory. And it was fantastic. It's about a Chinese glass company taking over a shuttered GM plant in Dayton, Ohio. And trying to make the Chinese way of production work with American workers.
Oh.
I've
heard some things about the Chinese way.
With Chinese supervisors who have no choice. The company, it's a Chinese company, it's called Fuyao.
They have to come to America?
They have to, if they're transferred to America, they come to America. Yeah. They leave their families.
Ooh.
They leave their family. Families can't come with them. This is all about the work. So they live in these like small places.
Yeah, near the plant.
And their way of working is they get maybe a couple days off a month. And they do not understand the American system of working 8-hour days and having off on weekends. Because it's all about the work.
Wow.
It's all work, no play in a Chinese culture.
Yeah.
And that's one of the only cultures left like that, because a lot of other countries are going to 4-day work
weeks.
And
so now you have the dynamic of people who have been out of work for years now being offered jobs in this new plant, getting paid like half the wage they used to get. It's fascinating.
It's rough.
It really is.
Rough.
It's really fascinating.
Yeah.
And it would make us understand a lot more about us.
Yeah.
If you watch this, called American Factory. One open line, 610-632-0975. Chip in West Philly. Chip, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Yeah.
What's up,
I hate
Chip?
To say it. We're seeing the beginning of the end. I'm going to tell you how this goes.
Do me a favor. Can you turn off your radio or television or whatever you got going on back there?
You got it.
That's no good.
What you're seeing is the beginning of the end. Randall Cunningham. You know, once you start battling with the fans and, you know, let me be me, Randall start wearing the shirt inside out, his hat inside out, and responding to the fans, that was the beginning of the end for Randall. McNabb, he was throwing bad balls in the dirt. You know, he was throwing grounders. We got on him. He got upset, and, you know, he had a good game. Then he responded with, I guess I was accurate. History shows that when you battle with Philadelphia fans, it's your own demise.
You're right to a point. I was saying that yesterday. You can never win
when
it comes to that battle. However, you have the ultimate control of it. You know how you have the ultimate control?
Just don't respond.
No? You play like a star.
And you play like that's
what you have in your tool bag. All right?
I agree.
Right. And then that all goes away.
Right. And they say a lot about Carson Wentz. They say a lot about Allen Iverson. They said a lot about Allen Iverson. You know, and the thing is that, you know, Allen, no matter what he did, whether he partied too much, whether he didn't practice, he played with every ounce of heart. Those three guys that I named had heart questions. Randall, Donovan McNabb, and now Joel Embiid. And the thing is about Philadelphia fans, I love Philadelphia. I've trained fighters in Philadelphia. You know, I'm all Philadelphia. So you can't lie to, you can't come out and say you want to be the MVP and you're the most dominant big man, and then you lay eggs, and then
the thing, he's not laying eggs. And the no heart thing is out of line. Because it's like, that's out of line for a fan to say he has no heart. But it's a reflection of fans. That's all it is. It's not like supposed to be the be all end all opinion. It's just a fan opinion that he has no heart. He has to have heart. He goes double double every game. I mean, that's not heart.
Is that heart or is that double double?
But it doesn't really matter. It's like if he had no heart, he'd be a mutt. He has heart enough to achieve. The fans just use that as their ultimate weapon. Oh, you don't have any heart. And that's just a reflection of their frustration that he's Kobe not Bryant the star that they thought.
What separates Shaquille O'Neal from 90% of other big men is that they don't play with nastiness and tenacity. Mm-hmm. You got Shaquille O'Neal, then you got Dwight Howard. Who's bigger than Dwight Howard? He has no nastiness.
You're telling me you're comparing Joel Embiid to Dwight Howard as far as heart goes?
Well, yeah, it's getting to that point.
Come on, man. See, then this is where you go too far. Because his numbers will tell you that it's not a lack of heart. The only thing it is like he isn't dominant every night, and we look at the guy and we expect him to be dominant every night. It's no different than seeing Schmidt hit home runs and expecting him to hit a home run every night. Not lack of heart. He's still getting you a double-double, but we want to see the double-double. We want to see 30-15 every night. And when we see a guy kind of like straggling his way up the floor because he's tired, well, the fans aren't going to forget that part of it. But saying he has no heart is just a fan throwaway. That's what he shouldn't be bothered about. It's just a fan throwaway. Donald in Delaware, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Donald.
Hey, what's going on, man?
What's up, Donald? How you doing?
Hey, how you doing?
I'm doing good, man. Go ahead.
Yeah, this is the first time I've been here. I've been hearing all this stuff on here, everything y'all talking about. And a whole bunch of this stuff is true about the team, period. I'm going to tell you the truth. I think it's the coaching. You know, if the coach is telling these guys what to do out there and they're not doing it out there, I sit their butt on the bench. You know, they just ain't doing what they're doing. They're getting millions and millions of dollars. They out here playing, and they're not giving all their heart. And, you know,
hold on a second. Who's not giving their heart?
I'm talking about.
Who do you want to put on the bench?
If they're not playing hard, I'll put them on the bench.
Who's not playing hard? Donald, who's not playing hard? I'm asking you a question. Busy listening to himself. Let's go, Chris in Williamstown. Chris, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Chris.
Hey, Mike, I'm sorry about earlier. You know, wow. How do you follow that? Okay, let's try. You know, look, I'm going to take I think that Joe, he bit himself in the butt by allowing himself to get too invested in what somebody else had to say and, you know, letting the fans get to him. Like, you were hinting to Ben Simmons, and I think that was kind of interesting because Ben Simmons, you know, he doesn't evolve, he doesn't change, he just, he's kind of shrugs. When people ask him questions like that, he just shrugs it off and doesn't even acknowledge it.
Yeah, but he's not right for that either. See, they're both wrong for different reasons.
I think you hurt yourself less by taking the Ben Simmons approach than you do what Joe did by allowing himself mm-hmm. to get involved in this nonsense and biting into it. Like, you ultimately gave Shaq and Charles what they wanted because you gave into their, you allowed it to get to you. So I think it's just crazy.
But no, I agree with that part of it. Now, when it comes to Ben, you know, he should take that criticism and actually use it to improve his game, but he doesn't. So he's oblivious to righteous criticism.
Yeah,
he's too oblivious to righteous criticism. Beans just the opposite. He's too sensitive to righteous criticism.
The one caller said it earlier, Mike, about, you know, accountability. Like, I think the generational thing is absolutely true because I think these guys feel like they've already achieved something. Like, when Ben Simmons got his contract kicked in this season, I think it was more of a reason to say, oh, screw it, I don't need to improve my game. I could do exactly what I've been doing, status quo. And I think, you know, Joe got allowed that to get to his head too much, and he slacked because of it. So,
who are the top five players in the league, in your opinion, right now?
Not them two.
No. Well, come on, man. I'm asking you a legitimate question. Who are they? Giannis?
It would be LeBron, Kawhi.
Giannis.
Giannis, and then Harden.
Okay. And this guy's wasting energy with trolling?
Yes and no.
Who?
Who's wasting their energy
with social media trolling?
Not many of them.
None of them is the answer. And what they have to, like, put the invisible shield around them is they're great almost every night without allowing people to pick apart their game. Except AD gets picked apart every now and then. Giannis doesn't get picked apart. Why? He's relentless every night. LeBron doesn't get picked apart. Why? Because at age 35, he's doing something superhuman. Kawhi goes, just grinds it out every night. Boom, 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 boom. You think in Toronto, the fans are upset?
No.
They lost one of the top three players in the league, and they won 18 in a row. They just keep trudging along.
They're 15.
15 in a row. Boom, 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 boom.
Yeah, Harden gets it a lot. He's a top five player.
Well, Harden gets it a lot because he's ball hogged and he doesn't play defense. Right? So people they'll use that against him.
He's a top five player.
Okay, is he getting involved and going back and forth with him?
He trolls on different ways.
He does?
Yeah, these guys do go online, Mike. They do. We just notice Embiid more because they all go online. Other than Giannis, whose English is a second language. They all go online.
They fighting the fans?
Nah, fans also, those guys haven't been booed by their home fans. They haven't been. Well, those guys have been booed by their home fans. Their home fans.
Because they're above the boo.
He gets booed nationally. In Houston, they love Harden.
Okay, because he's above the boo. He gives the fans exactly what they're satisfied with.
But we just said he's a ball hog and doesn't play defense. They don't boo him.
All right.
They don't boo him. They choose not to boo him.
Because he's giving them 38 a game. Of course they're not going to boo him. He's giving him 38. That's different than just giving him 20 and not playing defense. Stallworth in West Philly, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Stallworth.
Eminem, you are 100% correct. It is not a generational thing. I'm just sick of this dude acting like a baby all the time. That's all. Like the quote or the tweet, if you stick around long enough, you become the villain. Am I supposed to feel sympathetic? Because you say, like, I don't understand what you want from us. We're going to criticize you when we don't feel like you're doing what you're supposed to do. But you don't have to feed into it. Just ball out, dog. Just play. That's all. Do your best. That's it. That's all you got to do. And it's not a generational thing because Giannis is trying to kill you every time he plays you. And they're around the same age. They ain't that much difference age-wise. Siakam, you don't see him crying. He balling out. He playing. And I think Siakam is actually younger than Embiid.
I found it interesting that when Barkley and Shaq came out, first of all, ripped them. The original rip. What was his response? Oh, they're right. I want to be like dominant every night. So now the fan perception is, well, guess what? You're not dominant every night. Okay, they're wrong. It's the same thing that Shaq and Barkley were saying, even though they beat a bad drum. It's the same kind of thing. But now they're wrong.
You're right, but I think, going back to that criticism, I was looking at his body language during that interview. I think it was lip service. I think he was saying it because he knows they're right, and he knows that's the right thing to say.
Well, see, this is the point.
You know what I should be.
You're right.
Body language was like he was almost like, okay, like he's subdued.
This is the point. He's got like,
even though I'm not having fun.
He gets into pretzel logic, which then twists my brain into pretzel logic.
Exactly.
And that's why I'm exhausted. When I go, the only thing I want now is for you to be a star.
Yeah,
that's all I want.
And ball out. I don't want to see you on social media. Just shut up.
It's different. I'm going to stop.
It's driving me
social
nuts.
Media.
I can't take it.
I'm not going to do that anymore. I'm going to get serious about my game. Then it's not. I'm not having any fun. I got to be more fun. It's like making me nuts. I can't take it anymore.
Like I'm supposed to cry because I'm not having fun unless. Okay, tell me, MB, what's going to be fun for you? Not winning? Okay, if you get a chance to jump up and down and do whatever you want to do and act like a WWE star, but you lose the game, you'll still have fun.
But or, I love that, though. Man, that was Joel being Joel. Mike and Cherry Hill, you're on 97.5 Fanatic. Mike,
what's up, man?
What's up, Mike?
You know, we've been given this Sixers team the benefit of the doubt for so long, and I've been one of the guys that have been fighting for Embiid, fighting for Simmons, but at some point, you know, the Celtics, you're in the playoffs. We said, it was the first run, but we lost to a Celtics team that was also very young, but that stepped up in the moment. Then last year, we play a Raptors team that when I look at the lineup, we should be so much better then. But we have these games in these playoff games when I see an Embiid that, you know, in the game five when we have these no-show kind of games. And I hate to agree with the last caller, but I can see it on his face before the game even starts. You can see it in the pregame warm-ups before it even starts, what kind of game we're going to get. And now this year we come in and, you know, Butler walks, and it's so much deeper than we even know. We know there's locker rooms issues and everything with Jimmy, but Jimmy's the type of guy that will win you a playoff series. And what I mean by that is your Embiid. I mean, Embiid is a star. Simmons is a star. But I've yet to see them lead a team and will a team to victory in these high-leverage situations like a LeBron does.
Butler hasn't done that.
You know, Butler hasn't done that, Mike, but we've got this Heat team now as a 3 seed. And let me ask you, if these Heat lined up against the Sixers right now in a 7-game series, I have a hard time believing that Jimmy Butler wouldn't find a way to win 4 of those 7 games.
Well, I agree with you. I don't think the Sixers beat the Heat right now.
Yeah, against the Sixers team.
But he hasn't done it to this point.
He hasn't done it, but this Miami team has gotten better. You're right, Jimmy hasn't done it yet, but it takes those kind of guys. A guy that can have the ball in his hands at the last second of a game and either drive or make a step back jumper, things like that, which we now don't have. You know, Elton Brand, we let him walk and we matched Tobias Harris, who is a good player, but is he that much better than your prototypical stretch fours that can?
No, he's not. But you know why that happened?
Right,
it wasn't a personal choice to choose Tobias over Jimmy. There were circumstances in that.
Well, so in that reality, so now we're here, right? So this year, let's say this year continues like this. So Brett Brown's going to be the one on the hot seat. And I'm not a huge Brett Brown guy. Fine. We'll can him. He'll be the one to walk the plank for this. But at what point, and listen, I get the star power, what Embiid is. I truly get it. But now I'm sitting here with a contract in Harris and a contract in Horford that I can't trade. I'd have to attach a pick just to trade this out now because I'm maxing these two guys. At what point do I have to consider, okay, I got Horford, I got Harris, I got Simmons. Well, if I ship Embiid up, I open up this contract now, okay? And now I get some assets for Embiid. I now have a 5 because Horford and Embiid get in each other's way.
Yeah, it's not going to happen. All right, because they're going to hire a different coach next year if they come out of the playoffs early. And they're not going to trade either one of them. They're going to give the new coach a chance to build around the two. It's just not going to happen. So you at least are going to see it for one more year. And if that doesn't work and they decide, you know, they fall again on their face and they reason it out that they have to split them up, they're taking a shot. I don't know. It could possibly happen to them. It's not going to happen in the offseason. Now, when the impatience comes with Embiid, Tyrone, normally it comes after one particular on-court development, right? It comes after he takes a 3-point shot that doesn't go in.
Yep.
That's where the frustration comes in.
Pretty much every
because
time.
What a fan sees is, oh, there's a 7-2 guy out there shooting where he shouldn't be. Now, the fan is not educated enough to know that there are certain factors why he's taking that shot. It's like 50-50, design 50-50, maybe it's his mindset. But the only thing the fan sees is the 7-2 guy missing a three-point shot when if he got down low, the chances he can convert a basket are increased. That's all they see. That's where the frustration comes from.
Right, and I understand that.
Okay,
but basketball, but pre-process, we were a very intelligent fan base, and we would say a player like Karl Anthony Towns, for example, who's averaging a bunch of points and all that stuff, he posts up about half the rate that Embiid does and shoots way more three-pointers, right?
Yeah. You're expecting a fan to be armed with A to Z knowledge.
No.
Yes, you are.
No, what I expect is the same knowledge when I was watching Barkley or Iverson. That knowledge, I think the process, because a certain segment of the fans checked out rightfully. Because, and I think that they're not fully back in the league. They're just Sixers fans. They didn't keep watching the NBA. They don't know what's going around the league. While during the Iverson era, for example, or the Barkley era, and I'm sure previous eras, Sixers fans, different than some of the other sports in this city, knew the league. We don't know the league anymore as well.
All right.
That's what I think.
Listen, man. There are limitations to fans. I think we're a smart fan base, but there are limitations to fans who don't know it A to Z. Like, we do this for a living. We try to know it from A to Z. So we're going to take our knowledge and go, and we wouldn't react that way. Okay? A normal fan is going to react that way. Now, will you agree, at least, that part of why he's taking that shot is because he is conserving energy because he is not in the best physical condition?
Absolutely.
Okay.
No argument whatsoever.
Well, then that a fan can't just let that go down the drain. If a fan is going to hold on to something like that, and hence it manifests itself into the boo.
I think Embiid and Ben together, I think we both know that each of them have a fatal flaw so far this year. Ben has done better at certain things, like his defense is off the charts. We know what he still doesn't do, and we know what Embiid doesn't do. That is very legitimate, and I will never, ever argue with a single person ever who brings those two things up about each player.
But that's what influences their mental reaction to Embiid. They're saying, okay, you have given me this. Look, you've given me a weapon. You're not in the best physical condition. And so part of you pulling up is to conserve the energy of not going down in the block. A fan looks at that, processes it, and says, you need to give me more than that. That's what they're saying.
Yes, but what caused it was an external force, an ignorant external force.
All right.
And that's what bothers me.
All right. 610-632-0975. Back after this.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
The Fanatic.
Okay, it is 3:31 on the Mike Missinelli Show. Keith Pompey covers the Sixers. He's inside the locker room. Just tell us what's going on. 4:30. It's time to get a Twitter poll update brought to us by Paul B. Moore and Sons with Natalie Eganoff. Natalie.
Thanks, Mike. Over 900 votes on this one so far. Do you think the trolling is a big deal? 21% say yes, 79% say no. So.
Alrighty. 79% say no, it's not a big deal. It's not a big deal. The troll part, it's not a big deal. The energy part of it is what I am carping about today.
Well, it's frustrating. I'm just kind of over it because you know that that's what's going to happen with him. I just don't really care. All right, he's at it again.
There are two things wrong with this. A, he's picking a fight that he can't win. which only lead, it does that doesn't lead to good. Doesn't lead to good. If you, okay, you're the righteous one. They're wrong. At the end of the day, picking a fight with them, you can't win. So what's the difference if they're wrong?
I feel, well, that's the thing. I feel like it's just like this love-hate relationship that we go through this with him. This isn't the first time.
No. It's so, been many times.
Right. So I'm this time I'm kind of like, okay, fans are mad. Yeah. Joel does something to provoke them. Ha ha, here we go again.
Right.
Can we just get to the game?
Yeah, so the pick the fight thing is wrong, and the wasting the energy on the troll is wrong, well, in my view.
Yeah.
When basketball is at stake and your greatness is at stake.
Well, and everybody exploding on social media, it's kind of like, well, okay, we can't like take stock into like every single little thing that's said.
And see, this is the thing he doesn't realize. Okay, you pick a fight with the fans. Now, unless you're going 5 for 8 when you're going to take those 3-pointers, guess what they're going to do every time you miss? Groan. Boo. But who lit the match? You did.
Well, then, regardless, I mean, I know he is under contract. He can't go anywhere. But if he's really not that happy here, for whatever reason, I don't think it's going to be a determinant either way. I don't.
You're not happy here? Get happy.
I'm
not going to go, oh, you're really unhappy playing here, I got to trade you. That's not going to be. That's not my organization. That's not what I would do.
That's not what you would do. But these fans, let them have a bad game tonight.
Your fans don't run the organization. So rise above it.
But public opinion, if there's enough fans turn on them, then you got to trade them.
Nah.
If enough people turn on them, and this fan base will turn on a person. Not that they don't deserve. We'll turn on a person. Like I'm just saying.
This is where wisdom overcomes fan ignorance.
Because the Clippers are a good team. They're working in new players. They lose tonight. We're going to get a ton of callers on a nice general knowledge Wednesday saying to trade them.
They're going to lose tonight.
I think they're going to lose tonight.
Yes.
I think they're going to lose tonight.
Like, the relationship is just so volatile.
And that's separate from any trolling or anything. I think they're just going to lose tonight.
Yeah.
Because the way it sets up with the two new players.
And they're minus 2.5 at home.
Yeah, and the line's moving.
They're 22-2 at home.
Yeah, 24-2
at home. Yeah, and they're an underdog tonight.
They're going to lose tonight. Right.
Exactly.
So tomorrow, people, I'm just saying, it could get out of hand quick. Where maybe it would be possible for him to get traded.
He goes,
the people going to turn on him.
Tyrone, listen. If he goes 30-15, ain't nobody turning on him.
Even if they lose.
Nobody's turning on him if they lose and he goes 30-50. If he's playing at Embiid level, people aren't going to turn on him when he's giving you that.
Nah, he had a 40-20 game at the Pacers last year, and we got a bunch of calls the next day ripping him. He had a 40-20. He had a 40-20 game.
Stupid.
It was during one of those stretches where the people were mad at him.
If he goes 20-6. And shoots 30% for the field, then people are going to turn on him. He gets 30-50, ain't nobody turning on him.
It's
the weapon you have in your pocket.
There's no balance when it comes to Embiid. It's either like the fans really, really love him. They're like, he's eating Chick-fil-A. Or they're really mad at him. They're like, well, what's he doing? Like, there's no in between. Like, what they love about him, they love so hard. And then what they dislike about him, the dislike is just like overpowers any feelings of love that they do have for him.
A different relationship with Ben, because Ben gives you nothing.
Right.
I'm talking about he plays hard emotionally. He gives you nothing.
I mean, like, Joel's cried, you know, he like lets you in. He likes Shirley Temples. He's goofy. Like, you
Ben
love him.
Kind of emotionally, he keeps everybody at arm's distance. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So the hate, while people criticize, the hate and the love don't come to either way to Ben.
He kind of rides it in the middle, and it's all based on his performance. There's not this like emotional relationship with him.
No, not with Ben. Not yet.
All right. Yesterday was my daughter's birthday.
Happy birthday, Kira.
Yes, I wanted to say a happy birthday day late on the air to my daughter, Kira. But this leads me to a story.
Okay.
Because I got her, I did a little research, and her mother was telling me that she likes this. She's got a yoga mentality because she's a yoga teacher as well as her full-time job. Right?
Yeah.
So she's into the peace, love, essence mindset.
Yeah.
So, I got it. It's called the Zodiac by Susan Miller. Do you know this? Do you know who this is?
Susan Miller?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
I love her.
Yeah, I don't know her.
I wait for her forecast every month.
Okay, so she's an astrologist.
Yeah.
Yes, and this gift is a personal booklet of astrology for the Aquarius.
Yeah.
But it includes, I didn't even know what was in the box.
I wish you would have told me this.
It's a box.
Yeah.
It's the Aquarius box. I don't even know what it is. So it arrives at my house, and my daughter comes over, I give it to her. She goes, oh my God. And she opens it. And here are four roses in the box, along with the astrology thing.
Yeah.
And these roses are so perfect that I'm thinking they're just expensive silk. And that's why the gift was so costly. She says, these are real, you know. I go, what? She goes, yeah, they're real roses. They live without water for a year.
I did not know this came in the Susan Miller.
I had no idea that this existed. So I did some research, and it's from L.A. They're called La Fleur.
Uh-huh.
And they are roses that live without water for a year.
Wow, that's amazing.
You've never heard of this?
No.
I haven't either.
I'm a big Susan Miller gal.
I thought that they were silk. They were so perfect.
Right.
And I felt them, and they go, I think they're not real. Don't feel like they're real roses.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, how is that possible?
GMOs, right?
Is that a GMO situation?
It's probably a GMO thing.
Gotta be.
Let me see.
I don't know.
Four roses.
Because I'm looking it up as you were I'm looking it up, and it looks even visually like kind of taken aback by it.
They're absolutely perfect.
Yeah.
To roses the point where I say
there are no way that they're real. And they're real.
Oh my God.
And
they're
just in a box. And they live for a year. Now listen, I'm a rose novice.
I mean, they have them in gold.
You get the roses. You pour the little white stuff, the powder in the vase, yeah. And you make it 3 days out of them, right?
Yes. Now, I mean, they come in gold and all these eccentric colors. So I don't think that they have to be some sort of hybrid.
Well, anyway, that was.
So I'm assuming that they're dyed.
I don't know. I don't know anything.
Only because I was looking at them, and the Sagittarius one, there's so many colors. I feel like it can't happen in the wild. And maybe the way they dye it preserves it. This is a guess. I'm just looking at it.
Yeah, I'll agree with you on that.
Believe me, I'm totally out here. So I have no idea where they are or what supersonic,
It's very Susan Miller.
Or whatever.
You know, I
came very up with Susan this strain.
Kind of wish my wife wasn't watching or listening right now. Slide at it as one of the next occasions.
Look, honey, here are these roses that last forever.
It's kind of wild. I'm going. Yeah, she goes, you know, they're real. I go, what? I said, I felt it. They're silk. No, they're real.
Did you get the gift off of her website?
Yeah.
Okay. I need to look.
Yeah, it was.
What do you think I'm over here doing?
All right, anyway, 610-632-0975. We're back after this.
Mike Missinelli
on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Place your bets on New Jersey and Pennsylvania's premier online sportsbook, PlaySugarHouse.com. It's the app I use. You know I love it. Check it out. You'll find live lines and futures on every sport, NBA, college basketball is real big. You know baseball's coming, and even the newly formed XFL. And while there are many sports betting apps you can choose from, what makes Play Sugar House different is that you can play over 450 casino games like Baccarat, Blackjack, Poker, Roulette, all in one. And say you want to learn to play any of these games, you don't want to sit at a $20 minimum table at the casino, get hassled by guys that are sharps and everything like that. You try it out on PlaySugarHouse.com. The minimum bet is only $1. So you click on the game, click on the rules, you get a little overthrow, and you get the basics on how to play the game. And whether you're a novice or a big-time sports bettor, you can have fun. And it takes just a few minutes to get up and running. And if you do it now, you'll get a bonus. You receive a 100% match on your first deposit, up to $250. By using the code 250MATCH. PlaySugarHouse.com is the premier live in-game betting option in New Jersey. and Pennsylvania. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
The Fanatic.
All right, 3:46. You know, there might be a visit from Hypothetical Man in the 4 o'clock hour.
Oh, good.
What? Hypothetical Man might be prowling around.
Really?
Is that possible?
Huh.
Possibility. Before we get to Keith Bumpack. Or maybe after.
We'll have a good Hypothetical
maybe
Man.
Maybe not, to get in touch with the Hypothetical Man.
Scenario.
See what he's got up his sleeve.
Those are always fun.
Let's go to the phones. Rodney West Norton. Rodney, what's going on, man?
Hey, Mike, how you doing?
Good, Rod.
Caller here.
How you doing?
Doing well. I agree with you 100%. I'm a high school coach for the past 14 years, varsity head coach, and I just can't stand the excuses that are being made for Joel Embiid. Like, you're a pro. You're a pro, and your job is to go out there and compete every game, With 150% every time you're out there. And it's not about, you know, and I'm sick of the crying back and forth with them. Like, stop making excuses. If you become great in all the lip service, you become great on the off season. And I'm starting to realize he's just not a true pro yet. He's not mature enough, you know, in this role. In this role comes with territory, criticism, okay, expectations. That just comes along with being a pro. You get paid $31 million, $37 million to play a game. A game that you've been blessed with the talent.
Well, here's the thing. I agree with the immaturity part of it, because here's the fact of the matter. It was unfair to judge him with the hand problem, as the, like, 100%. I think that's where fans weren't really looking closely into it. He's lugging, and so he's thinking to himself, man, I'm lugging around one hand. This thing hurts me. I got a brace on it. I can't hold the ball right. I'm afraid to stick it in to block people's shots. I mean, you think you take that in consideration. I can see him feeling sorry for himself there. But here's the other thing. He's smart enough to realize that criticism is unreasonable. At the end of the day, he's still Joel Embiid, and they're just a fan coming to pay him to see him. So somehow you got to rise above it.
I agree 100%, but he's got to work harder. I mean, he doesn't work hard enough so he can become great. And it's always an excuse. It's a mental thing. It's, you know, the fans are on me. I'm injured. Like, you know, you only play 45 to 50 games, you know, that at 100% to begin with. Like, we need everything from you for us to be great, for us to be, you know, to compete the way we need to compete in order for us to get to the conference championship or the NBA championship. He's just not a true pro yet. He doesn't know how to be a pro yet. And he has all the resources to work on nutrition, to work on his training on the off season, and it's not being used.
I get it. And see, I see both sides of it. I try to look at it from his viewpoint. And from his viewpoint, it's like, people, I weigh 275, 280. It's tough at my size to lug that up and down the floor like you think I should be like some track star. But then he should take inventory. Like, well, because it's tough for me to lug, you know, up and down like 94 feet, and I got to do something about it. And what I can control is I get a little spryer. And to do that, I gotta pay attention to my diet. I gotta lose 30. And then it won't feel as much like I'm lugging up and down. So there's like personal responsibility involved here. Sean in Limerick, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Sean.
Hey, Mike, I agree really with what you're saying this afternoon. I think, you know, the guy's got so much talent, arguably the best center in the game, right, the last 2 or 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, I think from a fan's perspective, I mean, tweeting stuff is stupid, but, you know, it's just disappointing to see all that talent and not see it developing and getting better. It seems like he's regressing.
Mm-hmm.
And what I would say is I try to get every Sixers game, watch it live or tape, and it seemed like to me there was a big shift when he was out with his finger being injured. I think there was about 9 games, and this is when I think Simmons had his back-to-back 30-plus games, started getting really aggressive. And it seems like since he's been back, the offense is not revolving around him the way it did before, possibly. And maybe he's getting a little frustrated. He's not getting the ball as much. And that's why he's sulking. You got to rise above that. But what I would say, I think it goes back to Elton Brand. I mean, I thought Horford originally would have been a great fit for us, more than anything else, as a mentor to Joel. But essentially, you know, everybody has this figured out in the NBA. You drop the ball on Embiid and there's four guys. Ben's not going to shoot. Matisse isn't going to shoot, especially when Richardson's out. You know, there's nobody to shoot the ball. And I think the offense is kind of stagnant, and you see it, and it's really frustrating. So,
well, they won the last two. So we'll see tonight. They're in the process of indoctrinating two better three-point shooters into the mix. So it's all like a judgment from this point on.
Absolutely. I think the next couple months are going to be very, very interesting. Let me just throw a possible trade post, you know, post this season if things don't work out. Would you, if they're willing, would you trade at this point, based on what you've seen with the Sixers without Embiid, that stretch where they look pretty good, and you can't keep Horford as your center, would you trade Embiid straight up for Devin Booker?
Yes.
I would too, right? Give you about 26, 27.
Yeah, but that's not going to happen. So why even think about it?
Why wouldn't it happen?
Because they have a young center they drafted. They have Ayton.
Yeah, it's true. That's true.
Yeah, that's still going to happen. We talked about the Ben for Devin Booker. Would I trade Ben? Would I trade Embiid? I don't know. I'd have to figure it out. I'd have to, like, extrapolate the data. Can this kind of a post center, can you win with this kind of a post center in this day and age? Now, I think you can, so I wouldn't be trading him next year. I would see if another coach can blend it and see where we stand from there. But Tyron, I was watching the game the other night, and it was infuriating. Not the three-point shot, it was infuriating me. What was infuriating me? When he got the ball and did make the dribble move towards the basket, he flipped it up and wasn't square. He was flipping it up from the side, mm-hmm. And he wasn't square. And see, that's a power move, is you're squared up and you're faced up with the basket.
I thought that was brace related. I thought he was protecting. I think he was using that shoulder to protect that side. I know exactly what you're talking about.
Flipped it off from the side like a couple times, mm-hmm. instead of a power move. Now, I'm looking at that and I'm going, okay, he's too slow to the power spot. Because if he was quicker, he'd have the time to square up. He let himself not be squared up by being slower to the spot, and therefore letting a defender take that away from him. So the only thing he had left was that.
Right, and the other thing he should do sometimes is stop shorter. What I mean is, he can make a foul line extension type shot. If you're not going to get to the rim, sometimes that in-between stuff is no good. And he dribbles too much.
Yes.
You get what I'm saying? Like, take that foul line shot.
He's in between too many
times. Don't get in between. That happens a lot.
And a powerful, dominant center will get to the spot quicker, where that you control the defense instead of them controlling you, where you have to then go from the side. All right. Yeah. Couple open lines. 610-632-0975. It is Mike Mussell Show. We roll to the 4 o'clock hour on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.